Good morning, this is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. And visits on the web, the listeners did. In fact, I just yesterday had a meeting. We were going over technology numbers and had a huge spike in web traffic last month. So that, I think everything is kind of trending that way with a very busy month, early spring type market coming. So, yeah, so thank you for going to the website. That's kenmoreteam.com. If you need any more information, swing over there and shoot us a contact. I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Very good.
Good. Good.
Condolences. Condolences.
Yes,
I know how I felt 2 weeks before the Super Bowl.
Yes, I've had a lot of, I've had to deal with a lot of roller coaster emotions with you two over the last couple
weeks. You know, I've been avoiding putting on any Seahawks gear, no t-shirts, jackets, nothing, because if you're out in the grocery store, someone always wants to say something about it. And I just don't want to talk about it anymore. I really don't.
So he's moved on. I know people sitting in the dark and
I don't know if I've completely moved on. I mean, it still hurts a little bit, but only because we're talking about it again. So,
yes.
Hey, there's always next year.
Well, I did see this great, adjustment someone had made to the picture at the last minute, and it said, for all your real estate needs, still give me a call. I'll always call the right play. one of my buddies in Arizona had said that to me, and he let 3 or 4 days pass, so I was able to chuckle about that on Wednesday. By the time I received it, we're still busy. So there's a lot to be thankful for and thinking about here in the real estate market. We are still seeing super low inventory trending numbers, lower than we've seen in the last 5 years. And so one of the things that's doing is it is definitely giving us a lot to talk about as far as strategies on the radio and things we're doing to deal with that. We are also starting to see a ton of those early spring inventory appointments. My listing agent and myself, Alex and myself, we have just been on back-to-back appointments. There is some great inventory coming up. But we had one this week. We put on the market on Thursday morning. We had 4 or 5 showings within 8 or 9 hours, and we had an offer Thursday night. So that's just the type of things that are happening right now with the market. We're totally looking forward to helping buyers with strategies how to do that. We're going to talk today about sometimes when a market like this, sellers develop a fear of, where do I go next? How do I buy my next house when mine does sell in 12 hours? And what do I do to kind of combat the time frames and deadlines that come up with that? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I know first we always like to kind of get our national real estate story in there. It's always fun to look around and see what some of the celebrities and crazy stuff happens. Well, Kobe Bryant had a couple problems last week. I think it was a rotator cuff. He had a couple other problems with some real estate deals also, to the point of about a $1.6 million price drop on his house that's on the market on Newport Coast.
So, in other words, the prospective client was really twisting his arm.
Way to go, McKay. You are on it this morning. I love it. I'll tell you what I did like about the article, though, and that's customization of houses when you build a custom home. If you have a normal pool with somebody as tall as Kobe, it's probably not safe to be diving into. So you have the custom extra deep swimming pool.
Oh, like instead of 4 through 10, it's like 6 through 27.
Exactly. So there's definitely some really cool things about that. that, including the custom-built pool and spa, outdoor kitchen, and just because you want to keep that fade tight, your own salon and barbershop in your house. Just what everybody needs.
Listen to you, the guy with the uber short hair.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it, because it kind of perked me up a little bit. I didn't think that was too bad of an idea, so I kind of like the options there. Back to our local market, though. Today we're talking about how to deal with selling your current home and then purchasing another home. And there's a lot of things that come up with that and a lot of different strategies. So one of the things I just started with is I kind of wrote down, okay, what are our scenarios? Because we have gotten 10, 20, 30 seller calls about this in the last couple of weeks where people are just like, how am I going to make this transition happen? And it's one of the biggest questions we've been getting lately. Because we've had the low inventory, because we're in a hot market, interest rates are low, there's just a lot of activity out there. And so people are trying to gauge, how is this going to happen? We have this huge plus that, okay, yeah, my house might sell in 5 days or 10 days. And then we have, on the opposite side of that, what do I do then? So the first thing I wrote down that happens is sometimes people will build first. They will go ahead and they will, and we're going to talk to Tom about this a little bit because there's some different qualifications and stuff, but they'll go ahead and they'll get approved to start and build their new house first. Now, for the vast majority of people, this is a huge, huge luxury because obviously they have to be in a pretty solid financial position to be able to do this. Also, your personality has to have some additional risk tolerance that a lot of people won't have. So this is very, very specific to some people. But one of the solutions is people will build first. They'll move into their new house. A lot of times this comes into play, too, if they have pets or children that they don't want to be on the market, or they're worried about, you know, they have, you know, new young kids and they're showing the house and living there at the same time isn't always conducive to what they want to do. So they'll go ahead, they'll get pre-qualified, or they'll pay and build that new house first, and then they'll move to that, and then once they can clean up and stage and fix their old house, they'll get that sold. Now, there's some questions with that. What will that house sell for? We can have an idea, and we can do a market analysis, but sometimes we do that market analysis in, you know, February, and they build a new house, and then 5 or 6 months later, there's a different situation. Maybe market factors has changed. But we can usually have a pretty good idea what that's going to be. The second question is, how long will it take to sell that house? How long are they going to be carrying, if they have a mortgage on the new one, how long are they going to be carrying potentially two mortgages? Another thing that comes into play sometimes, and that people don't think about a lot of times, is insurance. Because now what you're going to have is you're going to have a vacant home. And the vacant home policies are very, very different than what's standard, than what most people are used to, and that's an owner-occupied insurance policy. The vacant home policies increase dramatically in price. And not all companies will do that. So sometimes you're having to go to a company you're not really familiar with. That leads to the question, the other question, why are those policies so much more money?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's because the risk and cost of a vacant home can increase dramatically. You know, say a pipe breaks, you know, in your washer or dryer, or pipe breaks in your wall. Well, in normal situations, if that happened during the day or at night, you're going to find that the next morning when you wake up, or you're going to find that evening when you get home from work. If that happens in a vacant house, it could be 2, 3, 4 days before you found that. The water running.
2 weeks.
Yeah, or 2 weeks. The water's running, draining. And so because of the, it's not only just an insurance issue, but the next thing I wrote down is, you're just dealing with these risks, these increased risks of owning a vacant home and having it vacant for a while. So that's something to consider when you're looking at that scenario. But number one, pretty much a luxury type scenario. The second thing that we do quite a bit of, and that we've seen happen an increase in the last 2 to 3 weeks, is you do find the house that you want to move to. A perfect house comes on the market. Happened twice with two clients this last week. They weren't expecting it to be back on the market. It comes back on the market. We can make an offer contingent upon selling their current house. The way our contracts write is that you make an offer. If you come to terms on that offer, you have 5 days to get your house put on the market. And then once your house sells and you get an offer on your house, you can proceed with the sale of the one that you're trying to buy. Couple of points to notate on this is how long would a seller be willing to have you be contingent? Because one of the things they're going to be worried about is, could I have sold it to somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
One of the great things about a contingent property offer is there's a clause in there that says that you can be bumped out of your first position. What that means is if another offer comes in, they have a certain number of days, and this is a negotiable item when you're writing this contract, they have a certain number of days to give you the option of either removing your contingency, meaning you said, okay, I'm going to proceed and not sell my other house, or you can, at that point, withdraw your offer and get your earnest money back.
You know, Lance, when a seller accepts a contingent offer, do you generally see the showings go down? Like maybe other prospective buyers say, oh, I see it's under contract. I'm not going to go look at it.
Well, that's a great question. And one of the things that happens is we see that change as the market changes. Now, you asked me that question 7 or 8 months ago when we had better inventory and more choices,
mm-hmm.
then my answer is going to be yes, that does. Because what happens is if a buyer has 4 or 5 other choices, they see this house has a contingency on it, not knowing if that person can proceed or they could be bumped out of the way, that can be an emotional process. So they have 3 or 4 other choices. A lot of times they'd be like, yeah, let's not look at that contingent one. Let's just go look at those other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to today, when we're looking at 18 to 20% less inventory, people can't find the houses. You put a contingency on a house today, not very likely that your showings are going to slow down near as much.
No, that makes
there's
sense.
Not enough to show. So agents now in the lower inventory market are saying to their clients, hey, there's nothing else that fits your criteria, but there's this contingent one. Let's go try to bump those people out.
Mm-hmm.
So from a seller perspective, you're in a lot better position in today's market to take a contingent offer for 2 reasons. One, the agents are probably still going to show it because we're in tight inventory. And 2, it's highly likely that the contingency property, if priced correctly in the low inventory, will sell faster than it would have 7 or 8 months ago.
Hmm.
So when you really look at those market conditions, much better time now to be taking contingent offers than I would say we've been in the last 4 to 5 years.
Hmm.
So that's changed in a pattern of 7 months, which is really interesting. I mean, it's constantly shifting and making those adjustments.
Right. Good to know.
So the contingent offer is definitely an option. There's more sellers looking at those today than there has been in the last 7 or 8 months. So that's really changed and become more of an option. We're doing a lot of that with our clients. It really comes down to being ready to pull the trigger quickly, price properly, and take a look at those. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we talked about in scenario number one. We're going to get Tom's perspective on the lending side of things. Can I go ahead and get qualified to purchase without selling my home? There's going to be, in both those scenarios, a great reason for that. The first one, because you're going to do it as a luxury. The second one is, you darn well want to be ready in a contingent position. If that is the house you want, if you do get bumped, you're going to need that pre-approval letter from Tom to waive your contingency and prove you can move forward. We'll tell you how to get that when we come back from the break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here talking about some local market conditions, going over the options that you have when you're trying to purchase your new home, but you currently own an existing one. Sometimes there is a dance and a balancing act there, and it's usually multiplied by 30. Because we have 10 to 15 things, you know, to do in each transaction, and now you have 2 transactions going simultaneously. So we're going to take those 35 things balance them all out and try to close on one specific calendar day 4 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be kind of like landing on an aircraft carrier.
And get moved out, house cleaned, with other people be able to move in that afternoon.
Absolutely. So on the money side of things, one of those moving cogs that we get to deal with is Mr. Tom Coyne at Umpqua. He makes it really easy to deal with. Tom, tell us about owning two homes at the same time, contingent offers. What are we looking at there?
Well, you said easy, and I really think lending should be easy. And that's why people hire me, is to guide them through this whole process and make it nice and seamless for them. Our goal is at the end of every transaction is someone says, you know what, that went way smoother than I ever expected it to be. But when someone's wanting to buy a new home without selling their current home, there's a couple different guidelines that we're going to run into. So I want to discuss a couple different scenarios and that we see quite a bit and give people an idea of what they can expect in those situations. Now, if someone does not want to have a sale contingency on their new purchase offer, maybe they want to make it more competitive, there's a couple added guidelines we look at. First off, they need to be able to qualify with both house payments. This is the most important thing. Now, what we look at is debt to income, and we want to make sure that's below 45% on most loan programs. Now, debt to income is essentially all of the client's monthly credit payments and the prospective mortgage payments, so the house they're looking to buy, divided by their gross income. And that's gross, not net, so that's important to know. Debt to income doesn't count utilities or cell phone payments, TV service, pretty much anything of that nature. Really, for the most part, it's anything that's going to show up on someone's credit report. Now, if they qualify with both house payments, the next thing we look for is reserves. If you're going to keep your current home and purchase another, we need to show 6 months reserves on both properties. Now, 1 month reserve is equivalent to 1 month's house payment. So, to give an easy example, if the home has a house payment of $500, you need $3,000 to have 6 months reserves for that home, and then you'll need the same on the other property. Now, this is money that you have in the bank that you show is available. We don't use it. We just have to show that, let's say you lost your job today, how many months of payments do you have in the bank? Now, this money is in addition to whatever it's going to take to actually close the transaction. Now, one important thing, and one thing we use a lot, is people can use their retirement accounts to count as reserves, because most retirement accounts, and they need to in order for us to use them for reserves, is have some sort of clause that says, under hardship, I can pull money from the retirement account. And if they do, we get a retirement account statement, prove that they can pull funds out of hardship, and we can use that as reserves, and that helps a lot of people as far as those guidelines go. Now, one really nice feature that we have on our loans is called a recast option. So let's say someone buys a new house, and they just put the minimum down, 5%, and they when they sell their other current home, they're going to have an extra $30,000 put down. Well, we'll allow the client to come in, give us that $30,000, apply it towards the principal balance, and recast their loan. And what that does is it recalculates the monthly payments based off of the balance at that time. Most people want to see that payment go down when they apply that big chunk from the other sale of their house. But it won't unless you recast it or refi. A lot of lenders are going to require you to refinance, in which you're going to have all the closing costs again, and then you're going also into that day's rates. So what's really nice about this recast, you know, I want to say it's a $300 fee is all we charge to do it, and the next month your payment goes down based off of the new balance after you've applied that extra principal.
That is a really nice option.
It's a great feature.
And for this scenario that we're talking about today, that's exactly what it's good for.
Absolutely. Now, Lance, I get paid to close loans, so, you know, I'd like to get that second refi, but in the best interest of the clients, it just doesn't make sense. We just do these recasts, and it's processed that following month. So really, really great feature, and I know I have a ton of clients that use that all the time, especially when they're buying a new home and then going to sell the other one later. Now, at the time that they've gotten to the point where they no longer need mortgage insurance, maybe they've paid that balance down after they sold their current house, as long as you're within 4 months of when we received the original appraisal, we can go and drop off that mortgage insurance. However, if it's been after 4 months, the client has to get a new appraisal to make sure the value is still there. Now, there's a common misconception with people is that mortgage insurance automatically drops off when I get to 78% of that original sales price, and that's not the case. Fannie Mae says that you're going to pay that monthly mortgage insurance every month until the original date you're scheduled to hit that 78%.
Gotcha.
So really important to look at that and factor in and how we structure MI on that new loan before you close. So we have several different ways to structure that mortgage insurance, and be happy to talk to you about your options. Now, other one that we come into, Lance, is someone wants to keep their current home, but it's not with the intention of selling it later. It's they want to convert it to a rental home. Now, if If they're not needing to use prospective rental income from that house they're leaving, then they just have to qualify as both house payments, no problem. Now, if they need that rental income on the house they're leaving to qualify for the new one to help offset the payment of the existing mortgage, they have to show they have 30% equity in that home. Otherwise, you got to qualify with both payments. And like we said, you still have to have 6 months reserves on both of those properties. So a lot of different moving parts here. And again, that's why you hire me. So I just put all this together for you and make it easy. So if you have any financing questions, feel free to call anytime, 783-7300.
I like that option that you brought because I didn't even think about it for the show because I was like, okay, buying another house, not selling your existing one. But I didn't even put that down as my example today as keeping it for a potential rental. So they want to see, if you don't have the rental income, they want to see 30% equity.
30%, absolutely.
Okay, got you. And then otherwise, you're going to need some sort of rental agreement to show the rental income.
Well, you have to know, regardless, if you want to count that income from the house you're leaving, you have to show 30%.
To count it. Okay, gotcha.
Now, that's when you're converting it simultaneously. So a kind of a way that you can avoid having to show that 30% equity is that's only when you're simultaneously moving out of property and buying the other one.
Okay.
Let's say you have your current house, and you get it rented, you got a lease agreement, and you move to mom's house for 2 months. Well, that house is already rental, and it's not being converted. So now you can use rental income on the next purchase.
Oh, gotcha.
So you kind of have to have an in-between house to make it work without the 30%.
To make it work. And that's actually, that brings me to my next point. So that's perfect, is talking about if you just old-fashioned sell your house first and you have not found your next property. That is a fear, and that's a big fear of a lot of people. Now, a lot of people take that step that we deal with and they figure that out. You know, mom and dad still have a big basement that they never even go in or use. So they line up a couple months where they can stay at somebody else's house. We used to have a real problem here with occupancy rates and rentals. That's eased up a little bit over the last year or two with a lot of the new projects that have come online and been here. So it is easier to go and find a month-to-month rental than you could, say, 3 years ago. So a lot of folks will look at that and say, you know what, I just don't want the pressure or the risk of not knowing exactly how much money I have to find my next place. And so I'm going to go ahead and get mine sold and get it done, and then I'm going to go into a temporary housing situation. And that's just a personality issue that we come up with. A lot of people want to do that. I mean, and so we go to a townhouse or we go to a condo and we go to a rental. And it gives them kind of a peace of mind to say, you know what, now I'm going to make a right decision based upon what I want and not a deadline of when I'm moving out.
Lance, I can't remember how many times I've heard the clients that have been in those situations, though, and now they're living in mom's basement, and they say, how fast can you close this loan? We got to get out of here.
And that happens, too. So sometimes there's even additional motivation.
Yeah.
So, once they do find that house, there's a new kind of pressure that comes on, and you're
it's challenge ahead of us, Jim.
you're exactly right. Another thing that we can do is we can use some occupancy dates, post and prior occupancy, to kind of ease that transition. Now, there are a lot of legal problems and issues that can come up with this, but it is a tool that when done properly and when we've consulted with an attorney on what we need to do, a lot of times you can schedule for, we've had folks where there was a big shop on the property and the sellers agreed to empty that shop out and move to their next home and then allow the new buyer to, say, put stuff in that shop 2 weeks prior to closing. One of the things, you know, there's hold harmless agreements and things we have to do to make sure the clients are protected, plus insurance issues there to look at and explain to the clients. But sometimes we use that as a transitional period. We've had sellers close on properties recently in the last couple months, and then the seller was able to stay in the house a month and a half afterwards. In fact, one of our clients had put the house up for sale, but the wife was due with their child a week or 2 weeks after closing, and the new buyers recognized this. It was a multiple offer situation, and that buyer smartly said, you know what, as part of our offer, we're going to allow you, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, to stay in the house for 3 weeks after closing. Well, I'll tell you what, those sellers, they didn't even look at the other offers.
I mean, they were close, right? They were all within $1,000 of each other.
Right.
They saw that, and they said, that's the offer we want to accept, because they knew.
Well, it's smart.
And the buyers got the house that they wanted and beat out those other offers. So sometimes those occupancy issues can come up. But like I said, there's a lot of legal issues with that. A lot of times we refer our clients to an attorney. They get some additional language added to the contract through their attorney, and just make sure they're protected so that they can do that. But it really, really can help in those transitional stages. So we have a lot of options for helping people go ahead and buy that next house, even if they have a current one to deal with. We're doing a lot of those evaluations right now. I was just out last night looking at a place. We talked to some folks about, okay, here's the three or four things that you need to get done. I would try to get them done as fast as possible, because we're in a great market to sell right now. So good, good inventory that's coming online. And I have some of that inventory right now with our pick three, because we have got some fabulous new listings. This first one, 3001 South Edison, we just listed. It's a three-bedroom, three-bath house with a den, and it's in Southwest Kennewick. Great, great new Kennewick location right out there, kind of by Southridge with all the growth that's going on out there. 2,427 square feet, custom iron gate at the front entrance. This is a Rambler. That is all on one level Rambler. You've got a great room design, gas fireplace, custom built-ins, granite counters in the kitchen, tile flooring, backsplash, custom built, wine bar, luxurious master, which has a private door to a covered patio, large walk-in closet. I mean, this house is dialed in. And then outside, they did tons of stained concrete back patio with iron railings, block walls, so solid block walls, and then low maintenance, no maintenance there, with custom iron gates and professional landscape lighting. You're getting all of this in that location for $341,500.
Wow.
You just couldn't pick that plan, put all of this into it, and rebuild it. So give us a call at 3001 South Edison Place in Kennewick. Pick number two, another super unique, brand new listing I'm excited about. This is 4004 West Argent Place out there in Pasco, right by the golf land out there in Pasco. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler with a basement. And here's the deal on 2.5 fenced acres out there. Mm-hmm. You got hardwood floors on the main level, tile flooring, breakfast bar. Basement has another big family room and laundry room in it, with its own entrance to the basement. You've got a 2-car 30x28 detached garage shop. And then you've got another 25x14 like studio outbuilding. The pasture is set up just fantastically, tons and tons of parking, and you're close to all of that West Pasco growth. So you got 2.5 acres, but you're close to everything. And
animal property.
And, yes, and pasture set up, animal property. And, holy Hannah, if you like golfing, I said it, you literally, you don't even drive anywhere. You just tell your wife, I'm going to walk across the street. and you're golfing. So it's just a really, really unique property that you don't see all of that in that location. 727-8977, give me a call or go to the website. And that price is $215,000.
Hmm.
2.5 acres.
Wow.
Okay, buy all of that. It just doesn't come up very often. Pick number three, 120 Meadow Hills Drive in Richland. This is a custom-built, four-bedroom, three-bath house out there in South Richland. 3,550 square feet. Family room, huge masonry fireplace, 21x13 bonus room on the main level, large master suite, and then another lower level, 21x18 bonus room. So you've got family room, and then you can have your theater room, pool room, really set up nice, private backyard, lots of mature landscaping. You've got a deck with a hot tub, and we're coming in on that, 3550 square feet in South Richland for $399,900,
mm-hmm.
just under $400,000. So the inventory out there, we're starting to get some of those new listings, and they're coming on quick, and they're turning quickly. But there are some great, great properties out there still to look at. We'd love to help you be able to sell that current house, purchase this one, and take some of that stress out and ease that transition. So for any of those strategies, you can go to kenmoreteam.com,
You can go to our website, shoot me a message, let us know what you're looking for. If they need the money side of things, Tom, and I know I sent two or three this week to do exactly this, what's the best way for them to start that loan process?
So go to my website, TomCoinHomeLoans.com. And this last week, we did see a little tick up in rates midway through the week. We ended off a little bit higher than where we started. So if you've been one of those people thinking about refinancing, I'd give me a call before it's too late. 783-7300.
And we will be right back here next week
on News Talk 870.